This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton on another Saturday afternoon. Welcome you to our program called Raising the Standard, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
Miss Margie's with us, and we got Bob McKnight's with us here today, too. So we got some people here to pitch in with us and as we talk about some things. So we're honored to be here with you, and here we are. Won't be long. We'll be on the radio here for 22 years. So we hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour, as we tell you every week. If you can't, we do offer CDs just for the love offering, whatever you'd want to give. And you could make it out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, your check. Send it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. Tell us what you want, and we'll get it out to you as soon as we can. So we're honored to be here. So, Pastor Don, I know you got a few things you want to talk about before we start teaching a little bit.
I'd say hello, and some people are already coming on Facebook. Amen?
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing a double program today on Facebook. And but this is for our radio program on Saturday. This is Saturday for Saturday. Well, the day we have Shabbat. We have Shabbat on Saturday. Every Saturday at 2 p.m. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to invite you all there, if you can come to our Shabbat today at 2 p.m. And we're going to be talking today about humility and what does God require of us, you know? And we're going to share a little things about Mordecai, because we talked a lot about Esther, but we haven't talked a lot about Mordecai. You know, it took two of them. Amen. They worked together. Many times, she followed his command, and many times he followed her command. Mm-hmm. They both work together as a team, and that's what God has called us to do, because it takes different kinds of anointings to fulfill the will and the purposes of God. I say hi to Barbara Briggs. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And I also want to say thank you for the offerings that we're receiving for the radio broadcast.
Yes,
and we just thank you, Lord, and anyone who would like to continue to help out for this radio broadcast. Each one of our radio programs, this is $165 a week for 1 hour. So we just thank the Lord for those of you who are helping out with that. And I will give our phone number up front in case you would like to give us a call. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. So we're 007 agents,
right,
aren't we? And we do have our Shabbat.
Except we're not hidden.
We're not hiding. No, we do have our Shabbat services on at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida, on 445 Osceola Street.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, I'm working with my camera here, too, and I don't know. I know you've always mostly been seeing Pastor Gene, but I think there's a way I can switch this without turning it, and I may try that a little bit later. So, Pastor Gene, I just want to open with one scripture.
Before you go to the scripture, we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks,
right,
on Andros Island, and we thank God that we're part of them and they're part of us, and we've already talked to them. We had another big offering come in for the roof. Hallelujah. Roof!
The roof. Amen.
And so We're going to get that out to you the end of probably the first part of next week, and you can buy some more material to get that temple of God built and in place, and we're looking forward to it. So continue to send the pictures, and you people that are listening, you can continue to pray for the temple of God on Andros Island in the Bahamas. We have an apostolic and prophetic dimension on that island that's never been there before. And so we just thank God for what they're accomplishing, and they're standing strong, and we're with them 100%. So we want to say hello to them, and we know they're listening, and we welcome them to the program as well.
And okay? I know others want to, we all want to see this building, this roof on, and,
that's right,
and the other things that need to be put, you know, windows in and doors in and all the things that need to go in.
That's right.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. Barbara says her son is a pastor of an Alliance Church in Ohio.
That's, wow.
Yeah. Well, we're blessed because I'm just going to mention the pastor. Pastor Jim Brocious is the pastor of the Alliance Church, and he is a wonderful man. And he has opened the doors for us to come in and have our services there every Saturday. And he opens his doors to other ministries as well. So, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, the church is not to sit there all week long and not be used. But so the, hopefully, I mean, I believe that church is being used probably just about every single day of the week. So it is a blessing for that. Amen. So God, thank God for the Alliance Church over there. It's been there many years. I think it's probably a landmark, right? I think so.
It's been there a long time.
It's been there a long, long time.
I forget what year it was built.
Yes, but, amen.
But Jim's been there 38 years, I think he said.
Wow.
So he's been there a long time. Well, he's a great pastor.
Methodist before
it
that.
It was a Methodist church before that. Mm-hmm. So amen. Well, I want to just read this scripture here because I think it has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about today. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. Second Chronicles, I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
Well, we know that verse by heart, don't we?
Yes, right.
If my people.
You see there's an if there.
That's right.
Which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, there are a lot of things mentioned in this scripture, you know, and some people just quote part of it.
Right.
Some people quote the first part, or you know, but there's many things there. And the first thing is, if my people will do these things, you know, there's many things mentioned there about being humble, seeking God's face, praying, returning, turn away from your wickedness, and return to God. He says He'll forgive our sins and heal our land. God is good. Amen.
Yeah.
So we just praise the Lord.
You know, I was thinking yesterday a little bit too. You know. Trump's been exonerated from all this stuff for the last 22
President
months.
President Trump,
yes. I should say, yes. But I think about, he's like a Mordecai, you know, and the tables have been turned, and now he's being lifted to a new place, and he's got so much more he's going to do for the Lord. And the enemy of the country and all, some of those people are going to have to be removed or change their thought patterns to do what God wants to have done. And so we thank God for what's going on in our country. So, and we got a strong president. We stand with him. I'll tell you, very few people could have handled what he's been through, the way he's handled it. And so he was on the other night on Fox News with Hannity and Sean Hannity, and talked to him for a long time. And he was very candid, told his heart. And so we need to keep him in prayer as well. I just wanted to mention it as we start too, because there's another good example of another what? Another Mordecai being raised up for our benefit. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And verse 15 says, now my God says his eyes shall be open and my ears shall attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. So God wants us to pray. We are to
Absolutely.
See his face and to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Mordecai, Pastor Gene.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll just start out if you don't mind.
Okay. We might mention also, we got a gentleman that comes to our church quite often with his wonderful wife, Wendy, and Ted Campo. He's going to have a 30-minute teaching tomorrow today.
Today.
At our Shabbat service on Mordecai.
So
it's going to be good. So if you'd like to come and listen, you're welcome to come, and I'm sure you'll be blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to see if this works.
Okay.
So glory to God. Yeah, it does work. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
What, you made it wide now?
No, you can switch it back and forth. Oh, I'm talking about my Facebook, you people who are just listening, you know. So it's okay. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to go over here to chapter 4 in Esther.
Okay.
And because I think this is very, this is when Mordecai changed his clothes and started wearing sackcloth and ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the chapters before that, we know that the wicked Haman, who was an Agagite, and Pastor Gene will probably speak a little bit about that, he disobeyed Saul. He disobeyed him. He was supposed to destroy all of the enemy, you know, but King Saul
was the one who was disobeying, yeah.
King Saul disobeyed.
That's right.
And so they...
Spared his life.
And so these Agagites, they continue and had family, children, and when it comes to this time, Haman already has 10 sons. 10 sons. And Pastor Gene, I think you should take that into what's up today. If we look at things that happened in the past, we can always see the things come around and they...
That's right.
...they return. And we, I think we can see a picture of the things that happened in the book of Esther, of what's also happening now in our country, right here in the United States of America, and not only here, but in the world. You know... the king there, that whole land, that all that land of Persia and the Medes and the Persians, that was all controlled, that whole area, and they were going to destroy all the Jews that lived in that vicinity, in that area.
That was Haman's plan, wasn't it?
That was Haman's plan. And so when all this was found out, and Mordecai found out, it says in chapter 4, it says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai, he rent his clothes. So he's going to go into a time of
Mourning and fasting. Yeah.
So he rent his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he was at the gate of the king, Pastor Gene.
Right.
And so what did he do? He probably laid out on there or walked
back
and forth.
Tells you that in verse 2, yeah.
And I'll just go ahead and read it. He rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, right there where everyone can see him, and he cried out with a loud and a bitter cry. So he is crying out for his people. Well, they didn't know all that was going on, you know, but they knew that the plan that Haman had brought this plan to the king, and the king, in his ignorance, made a decree, and he stamped it with his ring, and to do what? To kill all of the Jews, all the Jews in all of that area, and there were lots and lots of Jewish people then, and so he came before the king's gate and. For none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth.
It's against the law, wasn't it?
It was against the law. And in every province which, whithersoever the king commanded, and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting. So now we're going to talk. We need to have prayer. We need great prayer. And there was fasting, and there was weeping and wailing, and many lay, what? In sackcloth and ashes. So, he wasn't the only one, but he was a leader that went out, and others saw him, and other Jewish people followed in his in what he was doing.
Because in his direction, yeah.
In his direction, amen. So, you know, maybe you want to go on from there, but I think we need to see that he was a very humble man. He did what we just read about over in Chronicles. You know, he cried out and with prayer and with fasting, and... he was there, what? All the time.
All the time.
It wasn't just one day. He was there mm-hmm. all the time. Hallelujah.
In verse 4 here says what? That Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her, what Mordecai was doing. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth for him. But he received it not. He says, I'm staying in my clothing with sackcloth and ashes. And then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Here's the team ministry now going back and forth. Verse 11, And all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. So she hadn't seen the king in 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. So he said, what he's telling her was, if you don't do it, God will have somebody else to do it. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You is with us here on this radio program, and are listening. You're here for such a time as this. Let me finish this, and Donna's going to finish the rest of it. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. They didn't drink anything for 3 days. That's tough, boy. And I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, she says, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now I'm going to mention chapter 5, verse 1. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. There's some prophetic things right here in verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day. Now think about it. One day after this 2,000-year period, we're going to go into the third day, which would be the millennial reign. Think about what we got here in the future, a pattern, a picture of this. And Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And so when the king saw her, he found favor, held out his scepter, and she was accepted. But this verse 1 in chapter 5 is very interesting. You've all heard about the Bible codes. We mentioned this several weeks ago that they used to look at, and the man that discovered it was a Jewish brother, and they didn't have all the computers at that time. He did it manually, and he found out with the Bible codes that in verse 1 that Yeshua's name is mentioned in this verse. On the third day, I think, about the third day when he'll be coming back. And it's all here. And another word that's here in the Hebrew is the word pronounced natzel in the Hebrew, N-A-T-Z-E-L, which means a snatching or a quick removal from the earth. It's all revealed right here in chapter 5, verse 1. Something prophetic in the future. And as we close this out, I'll share something at the end to show you. If we didn't have the book of Esther, and we didn't have the understanding of what happened then, and we didn't have the understanding about Hanukkah, we couldn't answer two questions. It's written in the book of Daniel, but we got the answers now.
We have the answers.
We have the answers, right.
Amen. I think it's important that we think about what this team did together.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. I'm talking about the team of Esther
and Mordecai.
And Mordecai. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Because they work together. And you have to work together in agreement. So it's just like a husband and wife. You and I, we need to be in agreement. And those in the ministry need to be in agreement. So I want to go back over here to chapter 4 again, Pastor Gene, where you were.
Okay.
Because it says here in verse 12, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Now, Mordecai had a prophetic word for Esther. He prophesied a word for her.
Yes, he did.
And so we still prophesy to people today, and we've received prophetic words, and many people out that are listening have received prophetic words. Some of you may have received them from Spirit of Prophecy Ministry, from the church that we
over the years,
over the years, because we've had many people call and say something that, you know, they received a prophetic word and it came to pass, and they're so thankful that they received that prophetic word. But then Mordecai, he says in verse 13, he commanded to answer Esther. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Now, if we look at this, you know, she was wealthy. She was in the king's house. She didn't have any, and didn't seem to have any needs.
Nope.
You know, she wasn't out on the street where she could be killed. So she could have thought that she was perfectly safe in that place. But she had to be willing to give her life, her all, for her people. And to be obedient to what Mordecai, who was her, he adopted her because her parents died. And so he raised her, and he raised her to be an obedient child. And so she continued, even in her adulthood, to listen to him and to follow what he said, because she knew that he spoke words of wisdom. And she honored him and she respected him, because, you know, he was a man of his word, you know. So Mordecai, he commanded to answer Esther. He says, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house." So he knew what she could be thinking. Wouldn't anybody think that? Safe here. I'm safe in the palace. Nothing's going to happen to me more than all the Jews. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," she could have held her peace and not said a word.
That's right.
Right? She could have never exposed who she really was.
That's right.
But she chose to be obedient. Then he goes on, "Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." So at another time, at another place, God would raise up somebody else who would listen, because God says he's always looking for a person, a man, that would
be willing
and obedient to follow what God wants, because God's purpose was not that the Jews would be destroyed, amen? And he said deliverance would rise to the Jews from another place.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on and says to her, "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." He's telling her, he says, we're all going to die. We're all going to be destroyed. All the Jewish people, all your friends, all everyone in Shushan and the Medes and the Persians and everywhere is going to be destroyed. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, we're all here in this kingdom. Well, I would say the kingdom of this earth, the plan that God has. He's put us here on this earth, right?
At this time?
At this season. For such a time as this. And yeah. I think about all the different words that have come forth from different ministries and different people and prophecies about our nation, about other nations, and about the prophecies that are in the Bible about what's going to happen if we don't change. Because what we read about the prayer back in the beginning, "If my people..." So he's called, she's going to speak to him because she receives a word.
Uh-huh.
And she's going to give him a word and tell him what to do. So they are working together, and he's telling her, and she's listening in, and now she's going to say. And then Esther, she bade them return Mordecai this answer. Now she's going to answer, and she says, "Go gather together all the Jews
mm-hmm.
that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me." She wanted them to fast for her. "And neither eat nor drink 3 days." Now, you know, on the Day of Atonement, they don't eat or they don't drink for one day.
24
now,
hours.
If you've ever done that for
it's
one
hard.
Day.
It's hard.
You don't brush your teeth. You don't drink.
That's right.
You don't, nothing, you know. But for 3 days, not to drink or to eat, that is not an easy thing to do. But with the prayer and the fasting, and so this is what she says, "Don't eat and don't drink for 3 days or for three nights or days. I also and my maidens will fast likewise." So she was not too good to do the same thing.
That's right.
She did
said,
the same
"You do
thing.
It, and I'm going to do something else."
She didn't. She did
right.
the same thing. She fasted and she prayed, and also her maidens did. "And so will I go in unto the king." She's saying, "I'm going to go into the king after these 3 days." She wanted to have that prayer and the fasting for 3 days. And then she says, "Then I'm going to go into the king, which is not according to the law." And then she says, she closes it out, "If I perish, I perish.
I perish.
If I perish, I perish."
So she had to trust God here,
didn't
she?
Look, let's think about what's happening in our country today. Our president spoke on TV the other day in Michigan, and there were thousands of people there, it seemed like. But, you know, he's one person, and there are many people on both sides of the party that are a lot of them against him. But if we the people of America don't come together for such a time as this, things could change. Things could go wrong in our country.
That's right.
But we want good things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a time frame, I believe, where we can come together as the body of Christ. Not to sit back and say, you know, here I am safe in my little house or my big house, but we are to come together, whether you live in a mansion or you live in a small house or an apartment or wherever. But mm-hmm. we're all the body of Christ, because they said neither big nor little, right?
That's right.
They all came together to, so everyone was important to come together and to not eat or not to drink and to fast. And since she says, you know, like, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to listen to what Mordecai said. I'm going to be obedient. And she did. And
verse 17 says she did what he commanded her.
That's right. It says, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded her. So some places in the book of Esther, he's commanding her to do things. In other places, she's commanding him to do things. So it's not that one had more authority over the other, even though she was the queen.
Yep.
You know, but they worked together as one to promote what? To promote God's kingdom and to save the Jews.
To save their people. That's right.
Hallelujah. Does somebody else have something they'd like to add to that?
I don't know. Margie, you got something you want to add to that?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we know she found favor.
That's right.
We know she found favor. If you've read the book of Esther, and you know how the story ends. You know she found favor, and you know the Jewish people lived, and they were able to fight, even though this terrible Haman, who had 10 sons.
Boo.
Yeah.
He had 10 sons. Yeah, right. And you know, they went out to fight on the first day, and then they went back the second day. She requested another day so that they could fight. But the very first day that they were to protect themselves, now they just didn't go out and start killing a bunch of people. They only were going after the ones that were trying to kill them. And it's interesting because in the command it was that they were to, even children or women, and I think about what happened in some different wars where people would send children out with bombs on them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do they care for life?
They still do it today.
They still do it today.
Yeah.
Or women, they would send them out with bombs on them. So you think about some of the people that have come back. Bob, you're in the VA, you're the veterans, and you see a lot of men and women. They say there's a lot of women, too, that are hurting from what happened in, say, Vietnam.
That's right.
A lot of guys are, but I think most of it was because they were so poorly received when they returned from Vietnam. It
was
bad.
But they have bad memories from what they saw and what happened in Vietnam and what they did, because a lot of them had to shoot children.
Yes.
And women.
Right.
And so those memories, they don't go away, you know. But this was happening. Just think about this. This was happening thousands of years ago.
That's right.
Where even they even said that, you know, the children, they would even send children out perhaps even to harm people, which is a terrible thing to do, you know.
So those guys who went to in Vietnam, a lot of children came out, and they were told by their commanders not to take a chance because a lot of them had bombs, and they found out a lot of the kids did, but some of them were killed, they didn't. And those men had to live with that the rest of their life, if they killed an innocent person.
Yeah.
So you talk to them. I see them all the time, talk to them. And I'm part of the Vietnam Veterans Association, and they have a greeting to them. They see each other, they say, welcome back, because they never got welcome back. So I always tell, and I've done that in the grocery store, and the guys well up, because no one ever told them that. I said, welcome home.
Welcome home.
That's right.
Well, it reminds me of David Reaver.
That's right.
And his wife said, welcome home, Davey.
Yeah.
And when he came back from, it was Vietnam, he had terrible burns from,
phosphorus.
Yeah.
Phosphorus.
It burned in the water even, yeah.
Burned off his ears and his, just really bad, disfigured. But his wife walked in and she said, welcome home, Davey, where he had said a lot of other women had walked in and taken off their ring and
left it on the bed and left
it there, you know. So we know that war is terrible. War is terrible. But we don't live in this time of Esther, but yet we are living in this time of Esther.
They had to defend themselves, didn't
history
they?
History repeats itself.
Sure does.
And we really need to stand behind our president.
Absolutely.
And because he's wants to do wonderful things, but he has a lot of opposition against him. So it's important that we would do what it says over there in Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14.
That's right.
Amen.
Sure do.
So I was thinking also, Pastor Gene, you know, Haman, who was a
boo.
An Agagite, right? Maybe you want to talk a little bit about that history before Margie shares. I know she has something to share for this.
Well, we know that King Saul was ordered to to fight the Amalekites, and he told them to go against King Agag and his people, and he was told to kill everything, women, children, everything, and not to take any of the spoils whatsoever. So what did he do? He disobeyed God, he spared Agag, and he took the best of the spoils, okay? And so for 577 years to this point, the Jews have been like a thorn in their side from these people. And so when Mordecai took care of this with Esther's help, and they hung Haman on the gallows instead of him, well, it broke that curse, okay? And things began to change. And so it's a terrible thing that happened, but that's the way it worked out. And so it took two people to stand up to what God wanted to have done, and they stopped this thing. So, you know, somebody might be listening right now. Maybe you feel you've had a curse on your life from somebody, what was said or whatever. We can break all the curses. The Bible says a curse cannot light without a cause. Now, in Saul's day, there was a cause because he disobeyed God, okay? But your life, maybe you haven't done anything at all and somebody has cursed you. Well, if you feel that, well, then you can pray and break that off of your life as well. Amen?
Well, we know that Haman was killed on the first day of the fight, right?
Right.
And then Esther, she has another request that they can go out and fight the second day. So
to defend
the 13th
themselves.
And the 14th.
Right.
So on the fourth, and so one of her requests was because his Haman hung actually way before the war ever started, because he hung on in Nisan, which was right. 11 months before this war.
Right, the war didn't start till Adar.
Right. But yeah. Those 10 sons were killed on that first day of the war, which would have been the 13th of Adar.
Right.
And then so she requests another day that they can go out in battle. And so one of her requests was to hang those 10 sons on the gallows.
That's right.
That was a display of the power that God had given her and the Jews and Mordecai, and that they were able to do that. And that those 10 sons represent things that are going to happen in the future, events.
That's right.
So, but my thought too was, while I've been reading Esther, is that, you know, those 10 sons, they were adults. They were not little kids, you know? But imagine, they had children probably. So as the years have gone by, that same spirit that Haman carried is still around today.
Right.
And what does it want to do? It wants to destroy the Jews,
yeah.
And it wants to take over.
They're trying right now in the Middle East, yeah.
So we need to get wise up and listen. We need to listen. I believe that the Lord has put some wise people, wise pastors around our president, and so we need to pray for him.
That's right.
He needs prayer. A lot of prayer, just like Esther needed prayer. He needs prayer that he will make wise choices and he won't just jump into an alligator pit, you know, because we can sometimes do things too quickly and get ourselves in more trouble than we should.
You get in a swamp, you might get alligators, and he wants to drain the swamp.
Amen. So we need to pray. We need to pray for him because, you know, he has many enemies. He has many enemies.
That's right. You know, I was looking here in chapter 9. You know, they went to this battle, and of course, the king gave Esther and Mordecai another decree that they could defend themselves. And we see over in verse 10 of chapter 9, it says, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they killed them all. But listen to this, they learned one thing from what Saul failed to do.
That's right.
But on the spoil laid they not on their hand. They didn't want anything. They just wanted to get this over with. They didn't take anything at all from the spoils. And so it tells you right here, on that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king and so on. And the 10 sons of Haman got hung on the gallows. And it's a picture of what? The 10 nation confederation will be there at the end during Jacob's trouble. That's going to come against Israel the same way. And a lot of people don't believe this and understand it maybe. But the battle is going to be just like it was in the beginning. The battle was between Ishmael and it was between who? Isaac. Okay, the chosen one and the unchosen one. And if you read and understand even Ishmael's name, he was a wild man. He was against everybody. We got that going on. It started there. It's going down through all these generations. And it was repeated even with Abraham's family and all that. and with Jacob and all of them. Jacob and Esau had a problem. So it's going to end exactly in the same place with the same group of people as it was in the beginning. It's not going to be anybody else. So this is an amazing foreshadow of what's going to happen in the future. Amen. Well, Margie, you got something you wanted to share there? You had some notes last week, and we didn't get all of yours done that you wanted to talk about.
Praise the Lord. The book of Esther has really touched my heart this season. Learned more each day. And the Lord is showing me that as Esther and Mordecai needed to be obedient to the Lord.
I don't think you're loud enough, Margie. Thank the Lord.
That the Lord is showing me that first we should be obedient. I should be obedient to God. And then I should be obedient to my husband and work as a team.
That's right.
And then to my pastors, Pastors Jean and Pastor Donna, I should be obedient. So I thank the Lord for that. And so I'd like to talk about team, T-E-A-M.
Okay.
Team ministry.
That's good.
And the first letter, T, is together. And Esther and Mordecai, they worked together as a husband and wife. And in your church, we should all work together. Mordecai didn't control the situation. You know, the Lord had a role for him and a role for Esther. He didn't do his own thing, only his way, his thoughts,
yeah,
or being prideful. Mm-hmm. Esther lived in submission, dependence, and obedience to her God-given authorities, not her way or her thoughts. She listened to the Spirit of God within her. For she had the attributes. She was the picture of Yeshua. Jesus was totally dependent on his Father. So in John 5, verses 18 through 20, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father,
yeah,
making himself equal to God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these.
Hallelujah.
That ye may marvel. And the other scripture was John 8.
That's a good one, yeah.
And 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Thank you, Father. Jesus does what he sees his Father do, complete obedience to his Father. What if Jesus had not been obedient to God, his Father? So in Galatians 1, 1 through 5, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What if Jesus said, "No, Dad, I'm not going to the cross. I'll think of my own way of saving people from their sins." In Philippians 2:8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." He didn't do anything his way. He was humble before the Father and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in Hebrews 2:17-18, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Jesus is our example and should be our only example. Esther and Mordecai worked together in unity to accomplish God's will to save her Jewish nation from certain death, as did Yeshua. He gave up his life so that a world of sinners might be saved from eternal death. God gave and entrusted Esther with a very important role to accomplish God's work. And he gave Mordecai also a very important role to accomplish God's will for the Jewish people. They worked together. One wasn't tugging one way, and one wasn't tugging the other way. Today, the book of Esther is very important. In our churches, we are individually placed so that we jointly fit together in unity.
That's good. Hallelujah.
To accomplish God's will, his purposes on the earth, and also in our lives. There is plenty to do for God. No one should be envious of another's ministry. No one should feel left out. Let us all work together in unity to bring the lost to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, the Messiah. Team, together, everyone accomplishes more.
Pastor Amen. Donna says much more.
Much more.
Excuse me.
It's so important, Margie, the team ministry.
That's
and
good.
We certainly believe in team ministry very strongly at Spirit of Prophecy. Amen. Amen. I want to mention also that we do have Shabbat today at 2 p.m., so you can come by and worship the Lord with us on the Sabbath. I was wondering if Bob had anything to say. We have Bob McKnight with us here. And I was thinking, too, here about how Mordecai, he really looked foolish in the beginning. Well, our president surely looked foolish in the beginning to a lot of people. They really thought he was just this crazy nut man, right?
Yeah.
And they never thought, you know, one person standing in the middle, he stood there so proudly, you know, and, well, there's 17 men. 17 people running for president at that time,
yeah.
The Republican Party, I believe. But, you know, and everyone, no one ever thought he would be the one that would be chosen. But, you know, it's God who chooses.
That's right.
The leaders and God who chooses these people.
Sure does.
So I think about Mordecai. He was really looked really down upon. But in the end, it says here in chapter 9, it says, for Mordecai was great in the king's house. You know, and even backing up, it says, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the province of the king of Hazareth to lay hands on such that might hurt the Jews, right? So the Jewish people were able to stand and to fight. And so what happened? All the different people that were in the kingdom, it says the rulers, the lieutenants, the deputies, the officers, they came and they helped the Jews because there was great fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Well, you know, a lot of people are afraid of our president for some reason. They're afraid because he's making changes. He's
sure
making
is.
Changes that no
Big
other
time.
President has changed. For one is
embassy in Jerusalem.
The embassy in Jerusalem. What do you want to say something about the embassy in Jerusalem, Bob? The embassy in Jerusalem has been promised to be moved there from Tel Aviv for how many presidents?
Quite a few presidents, yeah.
God only knows how many presidents, how many years, 20 years or at least, or longer. But in the very, was it in his first year or second? He moved, it happened very quickly.
You're right.
That it was moved there. And there, they didn't have to spend millions of dollars.
The building was already sitting there.
The building, everything's there. Just like this wall that these people are coming against this. So, well, you know, it says that these people that were in Shushan, that were under the king, you know, his lieutenants and all these people, there was great fear fell upon them because of Mordecai. For Mordecai was great in the king's house. Well, here he is laying out there in the sackcloth and ashes, right? And the next minute, he's great in the king's house. Well, I think he's great in the White House.
Yes.
Amen. I think he's great in the White House. And I just thank, I praise God for our president.
Yeah.
You know, we're commanded to do what, Bob?
To support and pray for our civic leaders.
That's right.
That's right. And I'll see if I can see, get you on here. Oh, that's still me. I'm still trying to work this. Those of you who are listening to By Way of Radio, we're actually on Facebook, so you can actually see us on Facebook. Okay, I can see you now, Bob. So we're to do what?
We're to support and pray for our civic leaders, whether we agree with them or not.
That's right. That's what it says.
Anything else?
That's number one, chapter 13 of Romans. And yep. That's important. I think of Mordecai, and I see this man. He's part of a whole group of Jews that were taken into captivity to serve this empire. And he could have had a tremendously bitter spirit, but he accepted the position that God put him in.
That's right.
And he made the best of it. I see Mordecai as a man that was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And it was the hand of God that he heard those servants of the king plotting to kill him. And did he say, oh, goody, goody, let's get rid of this guy and maybe we can get out of here? Instead, he sent word to the king that this was happening.
By way of Esther.
And the king's life was saved. And I find that interesting, because how many would actually do that? And Mordecai raised up Esther so that she would be a servant of God and put God first. How many people today do you know that if they were at the point of facing death, that they would say, I'm going to fast for 3 days and three nights and call upon God?
Not very many, yeah.
Not very many. And Mordecai and Esther, as a team, did what God had put them there to do. And God's people were rescued, saved,
delivered.
Delivered.
Thank you,
that's
Lord.
The word I was looking for. Delivered from destruction. And their enemies were destroyed. And so that they in the end, they found greater favor with the king for their faithfulness than the ones that had tried to kill them and right. who had been number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's kind of ironic that Haman, thought that when the king says, "How do I honor the man in the kingdom that has done this great deed for me?"
Mm-hmm.
That Haman says, "Oh, he's talking about me.
Yeah.
And so he thought of the very best things to do. And then he was humbled, had chagrin, because he was doing this for the one that he hated.
That's
because
right.
he wouldn't bow down to him.
You look and think about the face when he had to walk Mordecai on that horse through the city, huh?
Yes.
You can imagine the look on his face.
That's right. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, one thing I want to mention here before we close, how much time we got left?
About 7 minutes.
Okay. If we didn't have the book of Esther and in the Bible, and another time called Hanukkah, which we don't have much in the Bible about Hanukkah except over in Daniel chapter 8, we couldn't answer two prophetic questions here that's revealed in Daniel 12 and chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. The 11 shows us another 30 days, and verse 12 shows us an additional 75 days past the 1260 days. And so verse 11 is what we're talking about now. Hanukkah was what? Or not Hanukkah, I'm sorry. I got Hanukkah on my...
Purim?
Purim was what? 30 days before Passover. And we're coming...
Exactly.
That's what this 30 days is all about right here. And then, of course, this other one in verse 12 is revealing another 75 days. That if we go from the time of the Day of Atonement, the end of Jacob's trouble, this is in my book, and you go exactly 75 days beyond that, you come to the first day of what? Hanukkah. What's happened at Hanukkah way back? They had what? A dedication of the temple. So if we didn't have those two things in the Word of God, we would not understand these two verses prophetically. But we have them, don't we?
Amen.
All right, Pastor Don.
Amen. Well, you know, one more thing. You know, we could talk about this book of Esther really
a for long time.
A long time, because there's so many things that it relates to with today. And, you know, it's interesting, too. You know, it's not actually one of the feasts of the Lord, but this time is still remembered, even now, 2,500 years later, I don't know how many years later, because the Jewish people still remember it. And they were to make a decree, too, it was time for gladness and joy and honor. And, you know, they had...
Exchange gifts.
It's the only one where they exchange gifts. It's not, you know, they never really exchange gifts at Hanukkah, but now people do because they competition for Christmas and all that. So for children, but here they exchange gifts because it was a celebration. Their lives were saved, and they were told to do this. There was a, you know, he even gave Mordecai, I don't know where it's at, but I have to look it up. But he was able to write and to send out all these letters again about celebrating these days of celebration because of their salvation. So these things are even remembered today. So you say, well, why are we talking about these things? Because they're important. It's history. And, you know, this is not just a storybook. It's history. And so we can see, okay, in Jesus' name, we can see that this is a time of gladness and celebration. So we need to also come into that place. Well, we want to mention, too, that did you have one other thing to say? You okay? Pastor Jean, praise the Lord. This is being broadcast live, I guess you might say, sort of. And we just are blessed to be on WCNO, and we thank the Lord for giving us this time. And we thank the Lord, too, for those of you who give offerings so that we can remain on here. And we want to bring truth to you. We want to bring the prophetic word to you. We want to share with you things in the Bible that would relate to today and how we are facing some of the same problems that history that the Jewish people have faced down through time and other people as well. Because, you know, we were born for what? Such a time as this. So everyone who are listening, were born for such a time as this as well. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. And so let's just think about what it says that we're to do back over there in Chronicles. It talks about that if my people will what?
Humble themselves.
Amen.
And pray.
Seek his face. Turn from our wicked ways.
It says his face, not his hand.
Yes.
We were always asking for something from him. I'll just turn it to him.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Well, we thank you, Lord, for if you would use listening, if you would pray for us and keep us in prayer. We want to do the will of the Lord. And I thank Margie for being here and for Bob McKnight for being here with us. And we just give the Lord glory, honor, and praise for it. So I hope that the Lord has shown you something through the book of Esther. And I think that you can go ahead and read it some more on your own and you'll see. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to see the comparisons of what's happening today and as what happened in the past, and then how God will use people to bring deliverance.
Amen.
And so you may be the one who's going to help to bring deliverance to somebody or healing or to your church or, you know, your family. But let the Lord work through you and do what he would have you to do.
Amen? Give him a chance to receive Christ here today, Pastor
yes,
Don.
Yes, go ahead, Pastor Gene.
You do it. Go right ahead.
Well, I already got the camera
you're on
back,
a roll here.
Back on you. But so anyone who's never asked Jesus, time's almost up. Anybody who's never asked Jesus to come into their heart, we just ask him. And it's that simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me and wash me and make me new. He'll make you a brand new person. And open up your Bible, read the book of John, get into the New Testament. Don't just stay in the New Testament, because we need all of the Word of God. Amen.
It's a free gift we get, right?
It's a free gift.
Never did a thing to earn it.
Salvation is a free gift, and we just give God all the glory for what He's doing in our lives, in your lives, and you can call us and area code 772-285-7007. And you can also, if you'd like to give an offering for the church or for the Temple of God on Andros Island that we're helping to build over there, we would appreciate that as well. So we just want to, I want Pastor Gene to blow the shofar. This shofar that has.
We got less than a minute now.
Is a ram's horn shofar. And
this is the real thing that we're going to hear from heaven, not the big, long Yemenite one. This is off a real ram from Israel. That's where I got this.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory
Let's just
to God.
Blow it,
bro,
as we close.
Blow that, Jesus. Well, we say, what do we say? Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
And look
Shabbat
up, because shalom. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Sabbath peace and rest. And we give God all the glory and all the praise and all the honor for what he's doing in our lives, in your lives, and in the life of the people of our nation. So we need to pray for our country, pray for our president, and we give God all the glory.
Yes.
And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.